Hello and welcome to chapter 7, where we are going to discuss about IT outsourcing. In this chapter, we will be discussing about the history, evaluation and concepts of IT outsourcing in the Indian context, how it has grown and how it has started and how it has grown. So let us understand what exactly is an IT outsourcing first. So in business terms, outsourcing is an contracting out of a section of the business, be it raw material, finished goods that go into an assembly or a business process to a third party. So, if let us take an example of a bank, the bank may not have the entire skill set at their hand and their resources at their in their hand. So, they may be going for an outsourcing of the entire process to the third party, and the third party will be doing on behalf of the bank or on behalf of the organization to ensure that the day-to-day transaction, day-to-day activity of the business is taken care, organization is taken care. The reason for outsourcing has always been by what is not your core competency or by what that which is what is best made by third parties, or it is not profitable to make everything in house. So if I'm going to make something in my hand, or if I'm going to bring in some resources which I'm not having today from outside, that should, so if I'm going to have the resources in my hand today, it is going to cost more than what if I'm going to take the third party in place. There could be multiple reasons why you have to go for a third party buy, like what we are seeing here. The reason for outsourcing has always been buy, what is not your core competency. Like example, in a bank, the sole purpose of a bank is to ensure that the people are going to get the money as and when they require, and like loans, advances, etc. The core competency of them is not information technology, maintenance of systems and all these sort of things, or support of information thing, or giving the hardware is not their core competency. Their core competency is to sit in the branch and ensure that they are in the position to support the customers. So what they do here is that they will be buying the services from the third party. Like you may have a third party person who is ensuring that you are getting the laptop and the, or the desktop, or the, and the desktop and laptop is working properly. This is where the buy comes into picture. There are also companies such as Bugatti and Ferrari that makes cars but not ordinary cars, so much so that every part is made in-house and assembled by hand. In such cases, it's a product and pride in their product that prevents outsourcing or subcontracting or buy. So like Bugatti and Ferrari, the entire, even a single screw is being made by them. So in which case, what will happen is that everything is happening in-house, and in such cases, you will not have, but what will happen in this particular thing is that the cost of the product may go high. Before we go further, would like to put down a caveat that one chapter is grossly inadequate to do justice to IT outsourcing and outsourcing management. It's very different from traditional subcontracting functions. So this internal only to introduce about IT outsourcing and IT outsourcing. In India, outsourcing has a differential colloquial meaning softer offshoring from US or EU, European Union or other developed countries. It is not the case here in case of Indian IT outsourcing. Over the past 20 years, we have taken it for granted. Outsourcing means just IT offshoring, hence this brief section on outsourcing. Gartner defines outsourcing as IT outsourcing as a part of an outsourcing definition. Is the use of external service providers to effectively deliver IT-enabled business processes, application services, and infrastructure solutions for business outcomes. This is the reason why IT outsourcing is required today, rather than the other definitions like IT offshoring. Outsourcing, which also includes utility services, software as a service, and cloud-enabled services, helps clients to develop the right outsourcing strategies and vision, select the right IT service providers, structure the best possible contracts, and govern deals for sustainable win-win relationship with external providers. So this is where the outsourcing comes into picture, where like in the previous page we have seen by which is not available by them. These were the utility services, like the entire software support is going to be outsourced as a service to the other party, or cloud-enabled services for the software which we are not having in their hand, or helps ensuring that the helpdesk is managed by a third party. These are the outsourcing in which the today's today's organizations are working on. Outsourcing can enable enterprises to reduce costs, accelerate time to market, and to take advantage of external expertise, assets, and or intellectual properties. You require a software and you're not having an intellectual property, you will go for outsourcing in these cases. A business should outsource only what does not differentiate it in the marketplace. It doesn't mean that you are outsourcing the entire thing, that will create a bigger issue. Say example, a bank cannot outsource the entire branch operations to some other person. So it will create a bigger issue and multiple frauds may start happening. In the 1980s, the earliest days of IT outsourcing, huge American outsourcers such as IBM, Anderson Consulting, and EDS dominated the outsourcing industry. They outsource application maintenance and development projects and also running mainframe data centers. These outsourcers gained from economies of scale, so much so that they could open huge data centers and have people in common who could serve the machines of multiple customers and technologies. So these are the outsourcers started gaining they started coming to business by having the particular thing. So the trendsetters for this entire IT outsourcing are IBM, Anderson Consulting, which is nothing but Accenture now, and EDS are the people who dominated the outsourcing industry in the initial days. Until the late 1990s, that is when ASPs, application service providers, burst onto the scene, claiming they could take a company's most strategic functions and run them remotely on their own applications. So this is where the entire things started changing the entire way the outsourcing market was running. A business would not need to maintain an expensive IT department to build its own applications. It could just rent the functionality over the internet or a private network. This is where the IT outsourcing started changing, and there is no need today that IT department has to have an expensive IT department running with all infrastructure, etc., etc. Instead of that, they can outsource the infrastructure to outside parties. This appealed to dot-coms with high venture capital, business plans and retailers, and also to some established brick and mortar retailers that wanted to start making money quickly on the web. So next, let us look at how the Indian IT outsourcing started and offshoring started coming up. India has been outsourcing software work from overseas, mainly USA, since the late 70s and 80s. Consider 70s and 80s onwards, we are doing a outsourcing software business for America. The outsourcing model was small projects or parts of projects done entirely offline in India and shipped to the customer in tapes or CDs, mainly the midlife cycle, that is coding and unit testing. This was done from India, but it will be very small projects or parts of projects where we'll do some modifications and customization and give back the entire system to America. That was the age prior to availability of DSL and communication infrastructures. In today's world, entire thing is happening automatically in the system itself by connecting itself. NASSCOM, National Association of Software and Services Companies, established in 1988, is a non-profit organization that was started with the objective of giving a voice to the software export companies within India. NASSCOM has now become a global trade body with over 1,500 members, of which over 250 are companies from the United States, UK, EU, Japan, and China. NASSCOM's member companies are in the business of software development, software services, software products, IT-enabled BPO services, and e-commerce. So today, IT outsourcing or offshoring, which is happening in India, are mostly from all these countries. We are seeing United States, UK, EU, and Japan, and China. From there, the member companies, we are doing software development or BPO services or software products and e-commerce are the major things that are being done in India for other countries. The next major event that boosted Indian IT industry's growth was General Electric's investment in IT outsourcing to India and its chairman Jack Welch's commitment to the government of India to use Indian IT companies as outsourcers and offshorers in exchange for a substantial purchase of GE's aircraft engines, again facilitated by Sam Pitroda. So this is where the entire growth has changed, the way it was happening. So on exchange of purchase of GE aircraft engines for Indian aircrafts, they started doing IT outsourcing to India. These results in GE outsourcing substantial software work to thousands of Indian programmers spread across Mumbai, Bangalore and Chennai. With the success of the offshore experiment, GE took the forward step to form dedicated offshore development centers. The acronym ODC, Offshore Development Center, was born in mid of 1995. The GE outsourcing started happening and there are programmers spread across the entire Mumbai and Bangalore and Chennai, and this was a huge success which resulted in GE forming offshore development centers in India in 1995. And Standard Chartered is also having an outsource center in India, at Chennai. Even in the 80s and 90s, the developed world was so widely computerized that a food store in the US would not be able to check out an item to purchase if the computers were down. So this was the scenario in US in 80s and 90s. Service that was huge computation was there. Hence, the impact of Y2K issue on the developed world was so wide that it could bring all activities to a standstill. This is where India came into picture, and Y2K issue ensured that India also is on the global path for development. Indian IT engineers started as cheap labor to just change the date formats, but ended up rewriting many billions of lines of code, testing them and productionizing them in a manner previously unconceivable to the Western world. So the change, the turn has happened from this perspective, where we are able to bring in the bigger change in the entire system, and Y2K is a blessing in disguise for India. By the turn of century, the multinationals had realized the potential of the Indian programmer. The Indian programmer had arrived. SEIBS can be called the birthplace of India's IT outsourcing and offshoring interest industry, was created in 1973 and was seen as export processing zone. Since then, many other special economic zones have been created in the rest of India. SEIBS mainly houses electronic hardware manufacturing companies, software companies and jewelry exporters of India. More than 150 units operate in SEIBS today, which is there in Mumbai here. This includes TCS, Tata Unisys, iGate, Sintel and CJ Group Inc. Buildings in the zone are called standard design factories with multiple units of 2000 square feet each within the standard design factories. Companies are provided long-term lease of one or multiple units. Larger companies leased continuous units and remodeled them into state-of-the-art offices for software work. Within the premises is located the ruins of an abandoned Portuguese church, St. John the Baptist Church of Mumbai, built in 1579. This church also lay in ruins for many years and access to it is restricted since SEIBS was formed. So, having gone through the history of IT outsourcing and how it has grown and what has the impact of Y2K on this particular IT outsourcing, let us move ahead to staff augmentation, how IT outsourcing is helping in staff augmentation. This is the most basic of all outsourcing models. Add contractors to increase your output as demanded by the organization. You may have immediate requirement that you have to do something immediately. You add contractors so that you will be having more programmers to ensure that your demand is met with the supply of new people in the system. Or say example, there is you are having an application, suddenly the entire issues are popping up in the application. You want experts to come and resolve the issues, outsource the entire thing and the support is, and ensure that the support calls are going down. You still control all resources, but the setup allows add-on services which are presently deficient in your company. That is support services for market expansion, say manpower. Suddenly you require some manpower that is not there in your hand today. You outsource this entire thing and people will start coming and working on behalf of your employees. In addition to being the most basic setup, this has the least risk among all the outsourcing models. You may use this to expand current capacity to serve short-term immediate business needs. Projects outsourcing is one more kind of outsourcing that is happening. IT outsourcing started with the outsourcing of projects, small projects or parts of large projects, as outsourcing matured, large projects were outsourced. So like today, if you see, there are huge projects, bigger projects, and important projects are getting outsourced, so that the entire large projects are getting outsourced and entire thing is getting completed on time. The requirements definition phase was typically excluded from outsourcing because the requirement definition has to be given by the business person and it cannot be outsourced to some other party because you don't, they are the people who will not be understanding what exactly you require. The business person has to give what exactly is required by the for the system, for the business. This phase involved direct discussion with the business community. IT outsourcer was only responsible for the IT department. Without a requirement definition, the rest of the project could not be estimated accurately. Scope and budget linked issues and those internal to the organization cannot be outsourced to the external party because these are internal to the organization and the other person will not be in a position to understand what exactly is required or what exactly is the budget that will be available for doing this particular transaction, particular project. Project outsourcing to a great extent, even design phase and more specifically the HLD was also never outsourced and the outsourcer always came in from the LLD onwards. Their model is bulleted below. Complete a high-level requirement study internally and obtain budgetary approval. That is where the entire project outsourcing comes into picture. High-level design also done in-house with the same ODC or same outsourced resources that took part in requirements participating. So again here, the thing is that high-level design nowadays that also is getting outsourced for some of the cases due to the bigger project that is going to come and the confidence that is getting built by the organizations on the external parties. The signed off requirements documents and high level design are sent to the ODC and the ODC provided estimates of timelines and efforts. The project is approved and executed based on the estimates signed off. Change requests are tracked and a joint decisions on their implementation based on their impact on the project. From here, the outsourcing may start. Managed services outsourcing. It is sometimes better to have a long-term engagement of services with your vendors. For growth, profit or expansion, you need concrete indicators of improvements in your business. For say, for example, you are going to have a data center. It is highly impossible for you for having the proper skill set considering the movement that is happening in IT sector, the movement of resources is happening in the IT sector. It may not be possible for the respective organization to have the entire, have this particular data center being managed by the respective organization. Say example in a bank, the bank people may not have the kind of skill set to manage a data center. So this is the places where they are outsourcing and that this also again is a huge success for the banks and they are in a position to ensure that 24/7 support is available for the entire system. In this case, projects are treated as part of a system where a competency of the client's business is managed. Managed services is widely acknowledged as the best model to adopt for technology outsourcing. If you have a long-term outlook, managed services is also known as a fully outsourced model where the vendor takes complete end-to-end responsibility of a set of deliverables in a project. So there is one more terminology that is being used continuously is system integrator. The system integrator takes care from end-to-end like keeping the server inside your organization to arranging a coffee for the respective person who is working. So system integrators are doing all these kind of types of work in nowadays. Managed service outsourcing. Some of the key features of managed service model are clearly SLAs for which deliverable and penalties applicable for non-delivery should be agreed contractually. Service level agreements are very much important before going in outsourcing because in case you are going to outsource the entire thing, the stake that is going to have, which is there in the stake is the reputation of the organization is in stake. If the managed service outsourced party or outsourced vendor is not in a position to deliver properly at the particular point of time, the two specifically in support related things and more specifically on 24/7 support is required, then having a not proper, if you're not having proper SLA, then it is bound to fail. Generally, budgets are calculated on the basis of number of full-time employees on the project over a period of 1 to 5 years. The role of the client will be that of a reviewer, contracts management and budget tracking. vendor will be responsible for staffing, managing stakeholder expectations. So it is like we, at the time of outsourcing itself, they will be in the position to, they'll the organization will say, tell the vendor that this I require this much kind of people from this period to this period, and the person should have this kind of an experience. So this will be documented and SLs will be written, and here they will be mentioning where outsourcing or internal outsourcing by the vendor is enough, is fine or not. Delivery of service may be performed from any location, onshore at client location, offshore, nearshore, or a combination. This also will be documented whether it is enough, is possible or not, is allowed or not, will be mentioned in the entire document. Managed services model is often adopted by organizations as a continuation of an existing staff augmentation engagement after a long trusted relationship where the vendor's key resources are very familiar to the organization. So like 1 to 5 years, if you are going to work on this particular thing, that is a continuity is very much required, and it is a long trusted relationship is required, and there should be an information from the vendor to the person, to the organization, if there is any movement of the people are going to happen from the specific organization, from the specific people that is going to move, they have to be informed on time, before time itself. One more important thing is that non-disclosure agreements will be written between the organization and the vendor, so that the information from the whatever is happening from the building, from the organization, should not go outside the organization. Since delivery and stakeholder management are with the vendor, the organization can focus on its core business. Say, for example, in case of bank, since the vendors are taking care of the entire thing, bank can focus on their core business, which is nothing but lending. The SLA-based contract put at rest customers' worries of stakeholder expectations. Some of the advantages of managed service outsourcing are as below. SLA-based approach also results in adoption of good processes and knowledge management by the vendor, thus delivering measurable and sustainable long-term benefits. This is very much beneficial for the organization, because along with the people, the outside knowledge is also being bought by the vendor, which is helpful for the long-term running of the organization. Vendors can take decisions without having to get the nod of the customer at every step. So, vendors will be given that kind of free step so that they can take a decision and proceed further. Long-term SLA-based contracts helps vendors make strategic investments that indirectly benefit the customer also. Most vendors bring in customer industry best practices, which again is a benefit to the customer, as the vendor is going to work across multiple organizations of the specific industry. They will bring in the best practices, which is going to be helpful for the organization. At the same time, there are some negatives which has to be considered when you are going to do an outsourcing. Cultural mismatch between the client and vendor organizations can often result in major communication gaps and lack of appreciation of the customer's pain points and priorities. A good gestation period called transition is essential to stabilize the interfaces. For example, in a bank, if you are going to bring in some IT vendor as an outsourced person, he may not understand why a specific requirement is there or not. So he may do a development without taking into consideration of what is the functionality or what is the pitfalls in the specific functionality. So the validations may be missing in which they are going to do the development, and repeated and automation has to, or the bank has to repeatedly keep on testing the entire development. This happens because the lack of communication, cultural or industry knowledge, which the vendor may be lacking. In multi-vendor scenarios where one vendor manages application and other vendor infrastructure, blame games are common, with both parties not willing to take responsibility for the failures. In fact, this happens within the same vendor organization also, where there are multiple people, teams are getting involved. This kind of scenarios are very common. Each person will be blaming on the other person, and multiple applications, if there, then to and fro communication will be challenging, and there could be a place, a time where the organization, instead of focusing on the core business, will be focusing more on resolving the vendor fights. Transfer of contract from an existing vendor, possibly due to non-performance to another vendor, becomes a major challenge for the customer. So here they have to bring in some people who are from the new vendor organization and existing vendor and work on the communication between these two vendors and ensuring that they are going to proceed further. Before proceeding further with which, what kind of outsourcing model they have to select, the organization has to consider the following points. One is deciding which of the one is the strategic priority and what is the risk tolerance of the specific thing. Suppose if it is going to be 24/7, you are going to have a support and multiple people are going to be involved, then always it is, you have to, coordination has to consider more importantly on the risk that is going to be taken when you are going to do the outsourcing, entire outsourcing to the respective team. So there could be a combination of people, like 40% of outsourced people against 60% of the organization people, based on the risk tolerance and what's the priority for this respective thing to get completed. The advantage of picking one over the other is based on the assessment of two factors, your company's needs and the intrinsic quality of each model. Based on this particular thing, it has to be taken, decision has to be taken into consideration. The goal of outsourcing is to improve the profitability of companies. As such, decisions should be based on an analysis of the company cost structure, strategic priorities, risk tolerance and available outsourcing models, which are the ways in which the available outsourcing models are available. Based on that, the decision has to be taken into consideration. Strategies are not static and will change over time as a company grows, and the dynamics of choosing different models will continue. So there are two different commercial models available for outsourcing. In the past 5 to 10 years, many newer commercial models have also been tried out and are evolving, and still it will be getting evolved, and there will be multiple commercial models that will be coming into picture in the future period. At the same time, the traditional pricing models are intrinsic to and will be part of any of the newer models that are evolving. Obviously, these particular things will be part of their respective models, and the two models that are available are time and material and fixed price. When we talk about time and material, it will be like, it will be the outsourcing model or outsourcing SLV will be written based on what exactly is the type of resource that are going to be onboarded as part of IT outsourcing model. And what is the time and what is the rate that is required for the specific thing. That is one big. Second is a fixed price. So when you are talking about fixed price, what will happen is that the entire outsourcing, say for example support, entire support is going to be outsourced for a respective period. There will be a fixed period, fixed price that will be maintained for this particular thing. In this case, it is immaterial for the organization to find out how many number of people are going to be onboarded by the outsourced vendor. He may do the entire work with a one single person sitting there, or he may put 1,000 people to complete the entire work. It is up to the vendor to take a call on how he is going to do it. But at any point of time, in a fixed price or a time and material, it is irrespective of immaterial of this particular thing, SLA has to be followed by the outsourced vendor. Time and material is the oldest and most common commercial model. It is no risk model to both customer and vendor, where the vendor assigns resources to the project or customer site. The customer is free to utilize the resource as they would their own staff. As and when the customer's demand ceases, the resource are reduced. Typically, a notice of 2 weeks is given to the vendor. The vendor is assured an annuity revenue, and over a period of their resource gain sufficient confidence from the customer to manage the project or transfer it to a managed services model. As a result, at one point of time, there are reasons that there could be possibility that the resource will be absorbed by the organization itself at a later stage. The main disadvantage of this model is that the vendor is continuously trying to augment their staffing in an attempt to increase revenues. So there could be possibility that they will ask the resource to go slow, ensure that the issues are getting popped up so that he can sell more resources to the organization. Fixed price model best suited when a project or a group of projects, be they development or maintenance, can be estimated within a plus or minus 10% accuracy on efforts. The vendor takes a hit if the project exceeds the budget, and if it is reduced by so and so, he will be getting the advantage of this particular project. The fixed price not to exceed is a corollary of the fixed price model, where a fixed price is agreed upon and billing on actually is approved by the customer, as in time and material. And if the project completes under the budget, the vendor is paid on actual. Else, if the project exceeds the budget, the vendor is paid on the price agreed. So always the customer will be having a better advantage in this kind of case where not to exceed is included in the agreement. If they exceeds the budget, the vendor is paid only on the amount that has been exceeded, that has been agreed. If it is paid on actual, if it is lesser amount has been spent, then actual amount only will be spent. The biggest negative of fixed price is the vendor's motivation is impacted negatively when projects go into overrun and vendor organization starts cutting down on resources, and fixed price projects typically go into prolonged disputes. So this is a major issue that is happening in a fixed price model. So there are the negatively it will be impacted, and the people who are working in this particular project will not be paid more because it has already gone into overrun. It will not be having an increment or whatever appraisal that will not be happening in this particular resources. The resources will be demotivated and they will start moving out. And as a result, the new resources, before the new resources are getting onboarded, the new resources will not be understanding what exactly is happening in the project. And this will result in the entire project going into a dispute or getting shelved. The newer commercial models are typically, the traditional, the vendor provides a service managing applications or servers or networks developing applications, and the customer pays for it, whether at a fixed price or on a time or material basis or a cost plus model. These are the new commercial models that are getting popped up. The enterprises that have gone the outsourcing route many years back now expect more value from their IT service providers, whereas the vendors want increased revenues and better margins. So there is a discussion going on between IT service providers as well as the vendors, so that and enterprises require more value from the IT service providers, and vendors want more revenues and better margins. Among the new pricing structures increasing in popularity are gain sharing agreements, like profit is getting equally shared between both the people. It is not only profit, it is whatever is gained by the organization. So it will be like per transaction basis. So that kind of agreements are coming into picture. Incentive based contracts. So if you are going to complete the entire contract within the specific period of time, there will be a separate amount will be paid to the vendor. That kind of things are coming to picture. Shared risk reward arrangements and demand based pricing. So based on the demand, the pricing is going to increase. Say example, today you are going to say 100 people are required. Again, the pricing is going to be different than if you are going to have 10 resources, your pricing is going to be different. Gain sharing pricing model. This profit sharing model, gain share means profit share. The vendor gets a share of profits above an agreed threshold. There is a base price agreed in the contract based on which the entire profit will be shared. By this, the vendor has an equal interest to ensure that the customer makes profits above the targets. Customers and vendors wanting to have a true strategic or long-term partnership enter into such contracts. So this depends on the customers and vendors based where their gain is getting shared between both the parties. Theoretically, this model encourages collaboration with both parties, work together towards common business goals, and allows the vendor greater freedom in decision making. However, this model requires high level of trust between vendor and customer, and hence works only with long-term vendors. And most of the cases, this kind of model doesn't exist due to the trust that is missing between the vendor and customer. Next is incentive-based pricing. Bonus payments are made to the vendor for achieving special performance levels above the contract service level agreements, and always in conjunction with the traditional pricing methods. So this is where the incentive is being paid. If the SLA, if the contract SLAs are achieved more than required, or the entire project is getting completed before the target date. Shared risk reward pricing. The vendor and customer jointly fund the development of new products, solutions and services with the provider, sharing in rewards for a defined period of time. You can see this kind of thing in the road contracts given by the government, where the risk and the reward is getting shared between the government and the person who is doing this entire road contract. This is typically in new ventures where the customer is not willing to pay the market rates. Shared risk reward pricing, at the same time their business is critical as to require the business best services. In such a contract, the vendor becomes a business partner of the customer. The vendor's risk in terms of the costs are paid out, and the risk reward sharing is over and above the cost. So cost is getting paid, plus he is getting a reward for the cost for sharing the risk. To the customer, it mitigates some of the risk of new technologies, processes, or models by assigning risk and assigning responsibility to the vendor. However, for both parties, results can be difficult to measure and rewards tricky to quantify. So this is the risk that is going to be there in case of risk reward pricing, because there are many uncertainties in a project. So it'll be tricky to quantify when before deciding on the rewards. Outsourcing has continuously changed and morphed, starting from on-site staff augmentation to controlled offshore services to manage services under various commercial models and contracts. Basically, customers are seen as being not so happy with what vendors have been delivering, or in the words of the IT service providers, the customer's expectations are on the uptrend. So expectations is always increasing, and it is challenging for the vendors to meet the customer's expectations. Nevertheless, the industry thinks that the next couple of years may see more customers taking greater control of the IT's outsourcing space. An increase in insourcing of the IT services historically outsourced, 20% to 30% will be bought back in-house, as buyers are more comfortable to create retained organizations and that not only govern the services but start to move more into operational control of the services. So by this way, the organization or the customer can have more control of the whatever is happening, because his own employees are going to work. Greater Indian presence in infrastructure. Indian software industry made its name on application development, maintenance, and BPO. A few Indian companies like HCL have long back seen the saturation of the space and started infrastructure business, networking, data centers, etc. So this is how the HCL also moved from normal thing, and there is a saturation that is happening, and started moving to different businesses at a later stage of their company. The new contracts will legally bind all vendors to work together so that the customer can leverage the best of capabilities of all their vendors. With the increase in adoption of global business services and the growing complexity and diversity of vendor portfolios, the governance function will become even more complex and critical capability that enables organizations to manage performance, risk, and compliance. This is a challenge that is there in the governance today. And most organizations face challenges in recruiting and hiring experienced senior resources to handle their governance. Hybrid offshoring. Offshoring to a supplier may not be the default, rather may see more hybrid models. Combination of in-source and outsource offshore services will start happening today. And in this case, outsourced offshore service will be reduced, and in-source will be slowly, it will be keep on building their, organization will start building their own resources for doing this kind of services also. Companies are starting to invest more in global business service models, best of shared services and outsource under a common governance model. Service integration. After many years of outsourcing and various outsource models, customers will refocus on service integration as their own core competency, taking key functions back in-house. This is what is happening nowadays. Customers are now going back to internal service integration, which they feel provides more flexibility and knowledge of the business required. So today what is happening is that with the outsourced model, they have to explain the entire thing to the other person, so and the other person is starting developing the entire thing, and the communication gap will be avoided if you are going to have your own in-house model in place. As a summary for entire OT outsourcing, the Indian context has evolved significantly from the day around 70s, 80s to today. It has evolved there is a huge development that has happened. India emerged as a major outsourcing hub due to its skilled workforce and cost effectiveness. This, which is very important. The concept involves contracting IT services to external vendors, enabling companies to focus on core competencies. Indian IT service providers offer a range of services like software development, maintenance, and support. These are different range of services that are given by the IT service providers. The industry's growth has been driven by factors such as globalization, technology advancements and adoption of offshore models by multinational corporations. So multinational corporations are driven by factors such as globalization. India growth has improved on this particular period. Thank you.